This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, one of my favorite lines in any song about America is, who more than self their country loved. Meaning, it doesn't matter what, doesn't matter what happens to them. We're so far away from that. But how about who more than self, or more than hatred for Trump, the truth they loved? Too many people are spewing all of this race nonsense because it helps them win their argument. Trump is a monster. But when does truth even begin to matter again? Does it? Well, it does to one guy, and he didn't do it for his love of Trump or his hatred of Trump. He just happens to love the truth. And I think probably the first guy to actually jump on, at least nationally, and say, I don't think this this Jussie Smollett case is all that it's cracked up to be. Nobody wanted to hear it. And nobody's giving him credit. They should give him credit today. He's on with us next.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
John Ziegler is with us. He is an independent voice and writes for Mediaite. And he is one of the guys, and I think the first, to really take this Jussie Smollett case on and say, wait a minute, something's not right here. We talked to him on Friday as this was starting to fall apart. And he laid the case out. John, I'd like you just to lay the case out again real quick, just in case somebody isn't familiar with the case.
Sure. A couple weeks ago, Empire actor Jussie Smollett claimed that at 2 a.m. in Chicago, in the middle of a polar vortex, that he had been attacked by two Trump-loving goons who yelled, among other things, at him racial epithets, insulted his sexuality, and declared Chicago to be MAGA country. Sprayed him with bleach, tied a rope around his neck, I guess, which was supposed to be a noose. He was the victim of a horrible hate crime. And the media, of course, shockingly lapped this up as if this was obviously true and that there was no other scenario that could possibly be the case. Because after all, in their minds, no one ever lies or exaggerates about any of this kind of thing, even though the end result, as you well know, Glenn, and many of your listeners know, is that many of these stories end up being false. And this one never made any sense. And the way that it fell apart over a couple-week period of time, to me, is fascinating. And, you know, I appreciate you giving me the credit because, you know, I don't get credit for any of these types of stories. I have made literally hundreds of dollars over the years going after these stories.
Well, let's not stretch it.
I mean, it's not fun because, by the way, even when you're right, you still end up taking more grief than you get credit in most cases. But I feel like all I was the kid in the Emperor with no clothes who's just going, wait a minute, the Emperor has no clothes here.
Yeah.
This is an obvious story. And so, what was fascinating about, just to finish real quick, what was fascinating to me was I did a series of interviews in Chicago very early on in this story, where, you know, I'm being used by Chicago radio hosts who are not supposed to be afraid of anything, right? Because they don't want to be the ones to say this is false, so they bring me on because I've written for Mediaite and say and tell them what they already are thinking, but no one wants to say. And that's really what happened here.
It's really frightening. So, John, I think one of the reasons why the average person may have been caught up on this and just accepted it is because at first, he had gone to the hospital, and you got the impression that he had to stay there for a day or two, and so he was really hurt. That's all bogus, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look now, who it was, these two Nigerian brothers who are bodybuilders, who are the ones that were involved in this, if they were going to beat Jussie Smollett up, he would have had more than a scratch underneath his eye, and he would not have been able to go to Los Angeles almost immediately to do, I guess we would call it a concert, where he was dancing within a couple of days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that part didn't make a lot of sense. There were a lot of things that didn't make a lot of sense.
Well, the fact that he held on to his subway.
Well,
I mean, that's a love. That's a love of a sandwich, man. You're like, I'm fighting off two guys who are trying to beat me up, pour bleach on me, but I am not letting go of this sandwich.
Well, I have to say, and I was, and by the way, the police were, both of us were essentially wrong in our original theory about what happened, because I'm told from my sources, which have been very good on this story from the beginning, that originally the police, and I thought this made sense, because I'm not a conspiracy guy. I despise conspiracies. I believe in incompetence. But even the police were convinced that this couldn't have been a total hoax at first, because it was so poorly done, so incompetent. Competently done. Apparently, they even rehearsed it, and so I presumed, and again, the police thought this too, that this was some sort of a domestic dispute, a relationship he had had with one of these two actors that went wrong, and then he created the hate crime allegation afterwards. I am told that police still believe that there was a relationship between Smollett and one of the two of them, but they now believe that what happened here was that Smollett paid them to be part of this. One of the more interesting things I'm looking forward to, as this goes along, which I'm sure is not going to happen, is Smollett going to get the Me Too treatment? Because if the police are right that he had a relationship with one of these two guys, he forced them, right, using his power as an actor in a romantic relationship, to engage in a crime. Now that's a Me Too violation, is it
not? This thing is absolutely fascinating. I saw it this morning that the police said, One of the things that immediately said, wait a minute, this may not be right, is he took him to the scene where it happened, and he immediately pointed out the video camera and said, I am so glad that camera is up there, because you caught all of it on video. And it was so obviously pointed in the wrong direction, and they were like, hey, we've never heard that from a victim who's like, and I saw right away that there's a video camera right here. And it was so obvious that it was not going to pick this up. They went, uh-oh, something's wrong.
Well, Glenn, you make a really great point, which I underestimated the police at the beginning of this. I think the police played possum here.
I do, too.
I think that they made it seem as if they had no idea what was going on. They released the photograph of those two blobs that were the persons of interest. And at that time, I perceived, and I think Smollett perceived, that was a sign of weakness, that the police had nothing. They had no idea what was happening here. It is now very clear they knew immediately what was going on. They had been able to chart those two blobs, which turned out to be the Nigerians, all the way from the scene of the alleged hate crime into an Uber. They identified them. Apparently, they have video of them buying the rope, so they knew their identity from very early on, and of course, they immediately know they're Nigerian, they're black, one of them works on Empire. This story is clearly false, and, you know, to use what I'm sure the left will think is a bad metaphor, they essentially gave Smollett had enough real rope to hang himself because he ends up identifying them on Good Morning America, which of course was ridiculous. You couldn't identify the people when you were being attacked, but you're identifying two blobs in a grainy photograph.
So, and that's the incredible thing, is he went on Good Morning America to say he doesn't appreciate how this is just how he's being treated and called a liar by some. It's just like those Trump people. And they put up the two blobs, and it's really like the back of two guys, isn't it?
I can't even tell.
I don't know. The faces were so dark, I just thought that they were, I don't know, wearing a hoodie or something and walking the other direction. There's no way you can tell anything about these two guys except it's two big people walking
or standing up.
And he gets on and says, I know these are the guys. Well, how do you know? I was there. I saw it. I know these are the guys.
Right, which to me felt like desperation, like he's just latching on to anything that will substantiate his story. Also, under the belief that the police will never be able to identify these guys when they already had. And, of course, it's a couple hours after the Good Morning America interview finally airs when they apprehend them, they question them, they get them to flip on Smollett. They don't charge them. And now, of course, we're waiting for Smollett. I'm told the police are hoping that Smollett will turn himself in. I'm still very skeptical, Glenn, whether Smollett is going to suffer any severe legal consequences over this. The state's attorney in Cook County, I'm told, is very corrupt. They're going to be under a lot of political pressure to give him a sweetheart deal and let this just go under the rug. I told you on Friday, which I think was a key part of this, that Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, was pissed off, and that he may have unleashed the dogs on Smollett when he went on Good Morning America, but he's not in charge of this anymore. This is a state's attorney's issue. And so I'm still skeptical whether the left will ever really be forced to eat the crow that they should on this. And I also think, and this is important for your audience, I hope that we don't just look at this as the left wants us to, as an isolated incident.
Oh, no,
like
it's not.
This is somehow unique. This is an epidemic. This is an epidemic, especially in the realm of hate crime situations. And it's also, I think, and maybe, you know, I'm sure people, I know I've already driven people on the left crazy for raising this issue, but let's go back to Kavanaugh for a second, Brett Kavanaugh, because we were told that even though Christine Ford's story had no corroboration, by the way, Jesse Smollett's story at least had a time and a place.
and a picture of two blobs.
Right, two blobs and a contemporaneous report. I mean, but in comparison, Jesse Smollett's story was fantastically corroborated in comparison to Christine Ford. But we were told the reason we believe Christine Ford is that a prominent person would never tell an untruth about an allegation like this. That would never happen. What do they possibly have to gain? No one would ever do this and put themselves through this. Well, now we know that's bullcrap, because Jesse Smollett has done that for whatever reason he did. I don't fully understand why he did it. We may never know, but people do very strange things. And the other thing that's related to this is, the number one misconception, especially the left has, is we now live in a world where being the right kind of victim is the American dream. That's the biggest false premise of the whole thing. People presume we're still living in 19 whatever it was, when being a victim was somehow an item of shame. It's not an item of shame anymore. And by the way, maybe it never should have been, but the pendulum has swung so far in the other direction. People want to be a victim. You get adulation. You get attention. You get money in certain situations. I believe Colin Kaepernick figured this out and did it more beautifully than anyone has ever done in creating himself into being a victim. And now, you know, he's made millions and millions of dollars out of it when his football career should have been over by now. That's the number one premise. Being All right. the right kind of victim is the American dream today.
When I come back, I want you, because you work for Mediaite, I would like to talk about the media and what the media should pull from all of these stories that they've done. What's the real problem here? Part of it is us. The free market is like, who's buying stories about victims? Everybody. I've got a victim story. That's part one. But the other part is journalism and media today. And quite honestly, you touched on in the beginning, fear. We'll get to that. John Ziegler, so what is the media going to pull out of this, or should pull out of this, and what role do they play in all of this?
Great question, Glenn. Those are two very different things, what they should and likely will. First of all, I think they're an unindicted co-conspirator in the Jesse Smollett story. Without them, I don't think Smollett would have ever thought, one, that he could get away with this, or that he would get adulation for it. That's number one. Number two, what they should take away from this is, let's not be so damn gullible. Let's not take everything at face value. I mentioned on Friday, I have an equation. It's really pretty simple. You just take the how implausible a story is, how little corroboration it has, and then you divide it by how hesitant the media or the authorities would be to debunk it because of political correctness concerns. And if you get a number less than one, the story's probably not true. And that formula has worked for me on many, many occasions. And on this occasion, it was as clear as day that the story's probably not true. But the problem here is the business model of the media is broken. It is badly broken. Every single element of the media is broken, which means the two things. Everyone has to lunge after every story that looks like it might get clicks or traffic or trend on Twitter immediately, which means that, of course, there's no time for introspection. There's no time for research or investigation. And then, of course, the other part of the broken business model is that the people within the business have no job security. And when you have no job security, you can't do real journalism, because real journalism requires saying things often that are unpopular or dangerous. Well, in this day and age, if you say something that's unpopular or dangerous when you have no job security, guess what's going to happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you happen to be a white male, you're in a story like this, you're done. It's over, and there's no place to get another job. So that's where the fear comes in that you already referenced. So there's way too much fear. And by the way, no one ever gets fired for jumping on these types of stories. You only get in trouble if you contradict them and don't get vindicated immediately because you pissed off the wrong people.
So John, here's the thing about this is as we're looking at this story, nobody's buying a story. Nobody wants to run a story that the narrative is counter to this one. And so you're not incentivized in any way. Everybody wants to be first or wants to be in the stream. Nobody is actually trying to be right over first. And the last thing is, there isn't anybody in the media that really doesn't want to believe this story. This is what they believe anyway. So it's massive confirmation bias.
100%, especially that's why the liberal media gets these things wrong so often. But I think your point about incentivization is so incredibly important, because there's still a lot of people who believe that truth is the coin of the realm of the media and journalism. I don't know if that was ever the case, but it's definitely not the case now. It's popularity that's what matters, and oftentimes the popular narrative is inherently faulty because of what you mentioned about confirmation bias. And of course, you and I have talked many times about the Penn State Joe Paterno Jerry Sandusky case. To me, this is the patron saint of all of these cases, where what the truth is, and I've investigated for 6 years, I know with every fiber of my being to be 180 degrees different than what the popular narrative was. But the narrative that was popular was so overwhelming that it was a tidal wave over the truth, and the truth is never going to win in that case, and it's not close. And this is not an isolated situation. That's just the most dramatic one I've seen.
Okay, John Ziegler, you can find him at Zygmunt Freud, and also with Mediaite. Thank you so much, John Ziegler, for bringing this story before anyone else would.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. There is an interesting look at the media from the media, and also something else that we all need to learn about our actions matching what we believe. I think that's a fallacy that we're all, well, I want my action. Really? Is that what you want? Is that what you want? I'll get into that here in just a second.
A lot of people are saying there's no consequences for Smollett. He's not going to face any.
He's not going to. There won't be any consequence.
You really think so? I think there's going to be consequences on this one.
But what do you think is going to happen to Smollett?
A giant, fat deal as a spokesperson for Subway. Here's a guy who waded through a band of marauders.
Yes.
Named Cletus, mm-hmm. attacking him when he had his tuna sandwich in his hand. And what did he do? He made it through. He got that tuna sandwich all the way to his belly.
Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
Kaepernick wants to go back in. I think Smollett should be, and I don't know anything about sports, but I think mm-hmm. a running back.
Okay.
Isn't that the guy who grabs the ball and runs?
There you go. Good
that
job,
guy
Glenn.
Is not letting go of that Subway.
That's right.
Make that football, paint it like it's wrapped in a Subway wrapper. That guy's never going to let it go.
And the good thing with Subway is, even if he is charged with a crime, it's still better than previous spokespeople. So this is a good way for them to go, and I think it.
I think that
it works.
I like that. Yeah, that's very good. That's very good. Let me take you back to the media here. The media is saying, and I want to quote: there are two competing definitions of media. There is one view promoted by professional anti-media messengers like Donald Trump Jr., who portray the media as just one big blob. He tweeted, "Media Hollywood desperately wanted Smollett's claims to be true to push their hate of conservatives." Then there's the other view, which I know to be true, that the media is made up of thousands of outlets and hundreds of thousands of people, with great journalists and lazy aggregators, with no single mission or belief system. There are mistakes and built-in biases? Sure, definitely. But most journalists are trying their best to report what is true. This competitive, chaotic world of media contradicts Don Jr.'s imagined world. Okay, so let me ask you this.
Is that a warning against collectivism, essentially?
Yeah.
It's interesting. They want to see people, they want people to be seen as individuals.
Yes.
Oh, it's an interesting concept.
Unless by the government.
Right, unless it's the government.
Yeah.
Or if it's, you know, evil white Trump supporters, right?
Yes.
Those people are all seen as with a broad brush.
Tea parties, yeah. Conservatives.
Oh, God, yes.
Anyone.
Group of all.
Christians.
Oh, my gosh.
Group.
Yes.
Group.
And we
but
keep
when
saying,
it's you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They try to. Everyone's basically the Westboro Baptist Church.
Correct.
And we keep saying that actually those are a few really bad people, but generally speaking, Christians
right.
aren't anything like that.
Right.
And, but
do we? Here's something for the media. Media. This at least is one show. Now I know you like to take all talk radio and make us all alike, but it's crazy. We're all made up of thousands of individuals. But this is one individual. Who I will not dismiss cases of racism, because I know that there are racists and I know that racism exists. However, I am skeptical when everything seems to fit perfectly this narrative that you guys love to eat and shovel out. So I am skeptical, but isn't that what you're supposed to be?
You should
now,
be
here's
all
also,
the time.
Here's also one guy who will report that it is a lie that black people, brown people, yellow people, red people, any people couldn't be racist. No, no. Race is a human trait. Just like our biases, those are human traits. It's how we are raised, what we are, how we're educated, who we're around, what influences us. Those things are called bias. Some of us can say, yeah, I'm a conservative. I'm absolutely a conservative, but I am not blind to loyalty. I am not just, oh my gosh, I've got to be loyal to this because I'm a conservative. No, if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. You know, there's something that's happening in Brexit right now with the Brexit thing. Seven people have left the Labour Party because of their Brexit strategy and the ongoing anti-Semitism and racism in the, what a surprise, leftist party. When's that going to start happening here? When are we going to have journalists that go, you know what, I got to tell you, I was on the bandwagon, but, you know, these guys have gone too far. These guys have gone too far. They will do anything. When's that going to happen? Because I know it happened on the right. A lot of us said, you know what? No, I don't have anything to do with the Republican Party anymore. I don't abandon my values. But it's really strange. I was painting a painting this weekend. And it was, it's behind me now if you happen to be watching. And it is a picture of this really spooky looking guy in the shadows. And his eyes have almost like hypnotic rays coming out. And he has two hands out. One has the Facebook logo. The other has the Google logo. He represents like the government. Google is data information and AI. And Facebook is social media. And the painting is called Here to Help. We're just here to help. Trust us. We're just here to help. No, it's not. When you close that loop of those three, it should scare the hell out of you. And as I was painting it, I realized this is rebellion stuff. This is stuff that the left should be doing right now. But they're not doing it. They don't even realize how out of step they are with their own values that they just are so hell-bent on destroying what they think is the problem that they haven't realized, oh, good God, I'm in bed with the devil. I'm in bed with everything I've always stood against.
I'm not an art critic. Yeah. But I did want to point out to the audience who's listening on radio, I believe it's an accurate painting because the super scary guy is white.
Right.
You did make him white. That makes it powerful. If
well,
you made him
more
any
of
other
a bluish green, but
well, when the light's on his hands though, they're pretty white.
Yeah.
So
yeah, well.
I think it's that's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the exact type of guy that can beat you up while you're carrying
exactly.
your Subway sandwich.
Exactly.
And that, by the way, is on sale for 1 foot long for $5 this week.
They
That's
throw
exactly
it at you. You have to catch it yeah. and then run. Okay, so let me go into this. So we've talked about the free market. That the free market it has to have a virtuous people because the free market will provide whatever you want. Well, right now the free market on the left wants these stories of victims and oppression and you know white MAGA hat wearing racists. That's what the system wants. That's the market is saying, I got a call for it over here. Who's got one? Who's got one? Who's got one? And so it's calling these out. And as we have shown you, and we will show you tonight at 5, over and over and over and over and over again, people are delivering it. They're fake. Doesn't mean that racism doesn't happen. It just means the media is getting trapped by all of these fakes because they want it so desperately. And why do they want it? They want it to destroy. See, the search for truth is not about destroying something. The search for truth is the search for truth. Let the chips fall where they may. But we've gone so far away from the truth. We just have our belief. We just know this is what this is what I believe. And then we don't even really care about living it, because if we really did care about living what we believe, we wouldn't have so much hypocrisy. Look at the hypocrisy. Both sides of the aisle. Look at the hypocrisy. You say one thing, you go in and do it. The debt is so un-American. Really? Look at the debt. Hear anybody crying about it? Nope. Why? Because nobody really cares.
No, the debt is just something that's used when the other party's in power.
Correct. I care about the debt. Mm. I'm talking about the spending now, and I was talking about the spending then.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter who's in. This is a problem. Okay? But we want a virtue signal. And our virtue signaling causes people to say, well, look at the hypocrisy. His action doesn't meet his belief. But we're so far beyond that as the problem. Our actions matching our belief system. We're so far beyond that. Don't ask that question. Well, I want to make sure that my actions line up with my belief. Yeah, you might want to go back a step, because what really matters today, if you want to fix the country, you want to fix yourself, you want to fix your community, you want to fix your country, you want to fix journalism, stop asking if your action matches what you believe and start asking whether your belief matches the truth.
All right, I have a pitch for you. Okay. Hi, I'm Jussie Smollett. Recently, I was in the news for being attacked as a part of a racial hate crime. And part of the story I told was not true. It wasn't about race. It wasn't about Trump. They were after my foot-long tuna sandwich from Subway.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Welcome to Monday.
Hi, I'm Jussie Smollett. In a moment, I'm going to tell you about the all-new Ultimate Cheesy Garlic Bread and the new Ultimate Meatball Marinara or the new Ultimate Spicy Italian. But first, I want to address some reports about me and the media. It is true, I filed a false hoax against the police and against white people and Trump supporters in general. However, as a Subway spokesperson, I can guarantee you I have never touched a child in an inappropriate fashion. I have no photos of naked kids on my laptop.
I've never been fat before, so I didn't.
I don't. Look, the bottom line here is, yes, I'm a criminal, but we're going in the right direction. Okay? We here at Subway, we are going in the right direction. We are making things better, just like we made our classic meatball sub better with the ultimate cheesy garlic bread. Thank you.
I love it.
I think it works.
I think it absolutely works. Subway.
Eat fresh.
I think it works. I like it. What do you think, honestly, about him looking at Colin Kaepernick and seeing, you know, I'm like the ninth character on this show that I don't even know. I'm in the show. I don't even know if it's still on the air. So he's like the ninth character. Yeah. He sees Colin Kaepernick. All you have to do is stand up against the power, stand up for something that everybody, you know, on the left is for, all of your friends, and you know it's true anyway.
Mm-hmm.
America and the National Anthem, that's a racist song. We all know it's true. We all know that lynching is happening. So I just go the extra mile. I'm an actor. I can pull this off. Life, all the world is but a stage.
Yeah.
And he's doing it because he saw Colin Kaepernick making a fortune.
I mean, really, it's interesting that this actor is getting in trouble because of his poor acting. Like, I mean, if he just had better plot development, this may have actually worked. You're right.
But honestly, it's like a murderer going, no, but I followed the episode of Columbo to the letter.
No, yeah, it's not good. I will say that, too, I think with the Kaepernick thing is an interesting example, because I think he probably has a motivation in that, like, this is how he sees the world and everything else. But if you look back at the last 20 years, we've seen many examples of people leaking their own sex tapes, mm-hmm. things that normally you would think. I mean, there was a time where people, when they got attacked, and if someone came to him and said, hey, did you get attacked? Are you the victim? No. You would downplay your own attack.
That's what he said. That's what he said. I didn't go to the police right away because I'm gay and I don't want gay people to, you know, people are always saying, oh, you gay people are weak.
But who says that?
And by the way, we all saw how tightly you held onto that Subway. That's a strong man. Somebody trying to lynch you, throw bleach on you, and you're still holding on to that sandwich. I respect that.
And I saw the perpetrators of this. There were some photos that went around of them. They are in much better shape than I am. They are not weak.
No.
I don't think no. Maybe there was a time where people thought gay people were weak. They seem to be in really good shape these days.
When did they say that they were gay?
They said one of them was in a relationship. That's one of the accusation the whole time.
Well, it doesn't make both of them gay now, does it, hater?
I don't.
And why do you call them both him?
There's three people. We're at two of them. If they were in a relationship, it would mean multiple people were gay in the relationship. I would think.
Multiple is not all, is it?
I didn't say all. I just
said the tape back. That's what I heard. That's what America heard.
But yeah, but that doesn't matter if that's what you heard or what America heard.
oh, I'm sorry, mister. Oh, I got Country Time Lemonade where the truth mattered. Yeah, I got it.
Now we're on to Subway. We don't touch kids. That's our new slogan.
Sure, we still have criminals representing us, but they're not doing creepy things with kids. Come on, have a sandwich.
We hope in 5 to 6 years to have a person who's only convicted of a misdemeanor as her spokesperson. We're going the right way.
Oh, what's happened to our country?
You're listening to Glenn Beck.